I don't believe that anything in my life was an accident. And I feel like every single hardship and stepping stone brought me here.
What would you do all over again and why? I'm Natalie Carpenter, women's health and fertility advocate, doc connector, and former corporate brand warrior. Each week, join me in candid conversation with an inspiring public figure who boldly shares their real life stories of adversity, impact, and what they did next, and if they would do it all over again, knowing what they know now. Welcome to the All Over Again podcast. Carrie Murphy is the CEO and founder of Inspired Living. Carrie is committed to empowering people all over the world to dream it, live it, be it. This international speaker, video marketing expert, and business mentor honed her expertise in the entrepreneurial field for more than 22 years and on camera for over three decades. Her company specializes in teaching entrepreneurs how to stand out online, authentically show up on camera, and become an industry leader in their space. Hello, Carrie. Welcome to All Over Again podcast. It's so great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I actually love the name of your show, and I'm super excited to be on it today.
Well, thank you. Well, I have to know, what makes you love the name of the show? That's very fun for me.
Because I think in some way, all of us think about, what would I do if I could do it all over again? And so I'm sure the conversation today is going to be juicy like the other ones you have, but it's a fun topic to explore.
I mean, I like to think so. So thank you for validating that. And so, Carrie, what would you do all over again?
I really have thought about this question, and I have been through, let me tell you, I have been through a lot of heartache, some pretty serious adversity in my life, but I really love where I ended up and I love where I'm going. And so as cliche or cheesy as it may sound, and I've made some really big mistakes too, let me be clear, I don't think I would change anything. I really don't. I don't think I would go back and change a thing. There's a quote that I always recite from Steve Jobs that's, you can't connect the dots in front of you. You can only connect them behind you. And looking back at the dots, I'm truly amazed, but not surprised, because God is good, universe is good, I'm good, you know, shocked, but not surprised that I am where I am today after going through, as you know, some of the things that I've gone through in my life.
So I know a little bit of the nine lives it feels like you've led, right? I mean, I know very, very little based on what I've read. What moment or moments stand out to you to have been the most pivotal?
Well, if I really pull back the curtain, Natalie, and I'm really transparent with you, I would say the trauma of, this is going to get really, really seem really dark really fast, but it has made me who I am today. I was sexually abused by my grandfather between the ages of about 9 and 11, and he was my favorite person. And he didn't live in state. He would just come to visit. And I remember telling my mom when I was 11 years old, and at the same time, I started pursuing modeling and acting and like really started thinking about the dream. Because growing up in the 80s and 90s, I really wanted to be a supermodel or Mary Hart. Like, I just have always had an affinity for being on camera and entertaining. And at the end of it, it was like really helping people see their own gifts and the possibility they have in their life. But when I go back to that 9 to 11 year old Carrie, it was a really difficult time facing that and sharing that with my mom and going to court and doing all of those things. And there was a lot of healing that had to be done. But I will say that early childhood trauma, which we all experience some sort of trauma, really made me go in and start at that young age looking at who I am and how I wanted to show up in the world and how I was going to overcome that pain. And so I would say that was one of them. I bought a business in my late 20s. It was a talent agency I went through as a little girl. I ended up buying it at 27 and then ended up closing it 5 years later when the 2008 recession hit. And so I will say, like, that's a big gap of life there between 11 and 27. I started my first business at 23. So I feel like I've been an entrepreneur pretty much my whole entire life. I think I've worked for like 3 or 4 companies. And that for me was a big monumental shift in time in my life where I started to realize my power and what I'm capable of. But then losing that talent agency when the recession hit in 2008 killed me. I didn't know if I would recover from that because at that point, I'm in my early 30s and I really let my job define me. I let my career define me. I let my ego, quite honestly, define me. And then I moved out to LA by myself. I moved away from my family. I had nothing but my leased car because when I closed the agency, I had to file bankruptcy because I had personally signed on all the leases and contracts and things. And that was a big shift for me, moving out to LA, moving away from my family, pursuing my childhood dream of being an on-camera talent, and realizing that dream wasn't who I wanted to be. And stepping into Inspired Living has been the greatest gift, which is, you know, we specialize in teaching female entrepreneurs over 40 how to be on camera, leverage their gift and talents, and scale a multiple 6- and 7-figure business. I really am passionate because I lost it all on helping other women understand how they can gain it all. And I will say there were a couple other things to answer your question. I had my daughter at 40. I was a single mom for 3 years by myself running the business. That was an also very monumental time in my life where I realized, again, my power, like I can. Those 3 years with my daughter, as hard as people would think they were, there was a sense of peace, just knowing it was right, that I could handle it, that I was growing the business. And I just felt so divinely supported, if that makes any sense. And then I met the love of my life, you know, when Lauren was 2.5, I got married, a year ago? And I had my second child at 45. So girl, when you say 9 lives, I really feel like, and that's just like high level, I feel like there's just been so much that I've gone through that has brought me where I am, which I have to say, I feel a sense of gratitude every single day. Growing up in Portland, Oregon, I have to share with you really quick. So it's rainy in Portland most of the time. There's pine trees. My room growing up was palm trees, oceans, dolphins. Like I've had an affinity for like Southern California. My first year of college was down here. So the fact that I live in San Diego now, like there are no accidents. And I think that's why I love the title of your show and the conversation we're having, because I don't believe that anything in my life was an accident. And I feel like every single hardship and stepping stone brought me here.
I love that you used every opportunity of adversity to pivot in a direction that was healthier for you, especially from a mental health perspective. So to that end, I have to ask you, just going back in time, because what happened to you when you were 9, 10, 11, first of all, it gives me the chills. It feels so unforgivable to me, right? Like that is so hard. And I'm not going to ask you if you forgave or because that is so personal. And I don't actually believe that there has to be. But my question to you is, did your mother support you? Did she see you and support you the whole way through? And if so, or if not, how did that define the person that you became?
Yeah. I mean, I'm so grateful that my mom was very supportive because he did it to her. And he did it to my sister. God. So this was a long lineage of abuse. And I'm so grateful that I feel like I finally broke the chain. And I think that when it is a parent or a relative, you always want to see the best. You want to forgive. But he was really obviously a very sick man. I have forgiven him. And I think that's what has helped me cut whatever shackles that might have been binding me or would have bound me to that story or to that victimhood. He was really sick. And so with that being said, if I can forgive him and move on, I'm capable of doing a lot of other things in the world too. So I will say for me, I'm one of those people that I don't hold grudges. I do forgive quickly. I mean, you do it enough times and you know, I can cut and release and forgive and still not let you back in. And I think that is the power of forgiveness, that you can forgive and not bring a person back into your life. And he has never entered my life since that time. But my mom was very supportive. She was with me the whole way. She absolutely was a strength. And she had a lot of guilt, I think, because of allowing it to come back. You know, there was a big gap by the time it came to me versus my older sister. And I think that, you know, again, maybe it will be better this time. Maybe that won't happen again. So I think it was a hard, hard lesson for all of us.
Sure. And psychologically speaking, I'm sure your mom had to deal with so much, right? When you're saying that as a mom and...
Oh, girl, I hear you. I have a daughter. I don't know what I would do. Yeah.
Right? It would be such a hard thing to wrap our heads around. Also, I believe that our parents' generation had less tools to cope with trauma. They just kind of held it in and they didn't do anything about it. Where I feel like we have this sort of responsibility to our children to better ourselves by releasing our trauma so that we don't put it on them. I mean, in your case, that was probably your mother's worst nightmare come true.
Absolutely. And you know, and quite frankly, it's a conversation that still gets brought up every once in a while. And I think the healing continues. But I will say to be able to talk about it, and you're absolutely right, Natalie, I couldn't agree with you more. The tools that we have, the awareness, I think, of our conscious and our subconscious and just all of those things, mental health, we have much more tools. We're so much more vocal as a community, as a collective now. I mean, could you even imagine back in the 50s and 60s or even 70s, if your kid brought this up, it would be so shamed. And I think that's why for so many years, this happened. It was perpetual in our family cycle because of that. Like, no one can know about this. It's the dirty secret. And unfortunately, too many lives, too many people were touched. That's a horrible thing, but it was true. But you know, I think the fact that it ended with me gives me a sense of solidarity and peace that chain was finally broken.
Oh my gosh. And I hope that he got help. And to your point, it sounds like the chain has been broken. So it's done.
Yeah, I don't think he got help. I think he passed a very unhappy, lonely man.
This is just a little sidebar. Do you ever wonder if trauma or that kind of energy manifests in the body and makes you sick?
From a health perspective, I would think so. If I really believe, in my experience anyway, Natalie, energy. I don't know if I'm an empath, but I feel energy. I feel people. I'm super connected to source and what I'm feeling out there. And for my own body, if I'm in that negative energy, I don't even physically feel good. I couldn't imagine if I had that sort of, I mean, I hate to say it, I don't even know how to explain it, demon in me or negative energy in me, how that would manifest in other ways. I don't know. I would think so.
So would you say that spirit has been your guide?
1,000%. Can I tell you a funny story?
Please do.
So when I closed down my agency, I had short sold my home and I moved out to LA. I had no idea where to move. Now at this time, I had been out to LA enough because I would bring talent from my agency out and I would place them with different agencies when they wanted to move to LA. So I knew enough about Los Angeles that, you know, where Hollywood was and where all the agencies were on Sunset. And so when I moved, I just was like, well, I should live there. And so I'm on Craigslist and I find this, it's a three generations in this home. It's the mom, her daughter, and her daughter. So it's like the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. They're from the Northwest, which is where I'm from. And I'm like, great, this is so perfect. They live right in the middle of like Hollywood and Vine. Like, this is going to be perfect. I get there. Now, Natalie, imagine. So this was Mr. Gillette's first home. So it looks mansion-ish. It's not. It just looks like colonial and big on the corner of, again, across Highland. And I walk in and talk about energy. Girl, I'm telling you, there was some woo in that house, but not like happy woo, like negative woo. And I walked in and I was like, okay, I'm not so sure. And my mom drove down with me. And I go upstairs. The room I was supposed to get was like an apartment and some guy was in it and he wouldn't get out of it. So they put me in a bedroom upstairs. Now imagine, at this point, I've owned an agency, I've owned homes, I'm married and divorced at this time, and I'm living in a room in someone's house that is just weird. Like, I felt like I was with Wendy and the Addams Family. It was the weirdest thing. And there's demons and books on Wiccan in the room that I'm in. My mom is like, we are taking that down. We are taking that down. So long story longer, I'll wrap it up. I couldn't stay in the house during the day because it just, I didn't feel comfortable. So there was a little coffee shop down the street and I'm in the middle of this conversation and I got this hit. like, you need to go back to the house. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I have to go. And he's like, okay, call me back later. And I walk back up to the house. The police are there and they're being evicted at that moment. I had been there for a week. And the police officers, I'm crying and they're like, it's okay. I know you just moved in. You have about, 10 minutes to go get your stuff. You can come back for the rest of it. So number one, that. Number two, the night before that happened, I randomly reached out on Craigslist to a woman that had a room for rent. I went and saw it. It was like 9 o'clock at night on a Thursday night. I'm in my jammies. I was watching Grey's Anatomy. I go up to her house. It is stunning, sunset views. It was amazing. And I called her the next day and was like, I need to move in. I don't have a place to live. I mean, talk about like spirit guide. That's just one of so many examples where I just had a gut feeling and I followed it. And it was like, what if I didn't follow it? I would have went back to the house and I would have been locked out. I couldn't get my stuff. If I didn't go and see the other place the night before, I wouldn't have had any idea where to live. It was just, I mean, come on, that's pretty bananas.
Uncanny.
But when you say spirit, I kind of feel like that's been my entire life. Like I get these little internal nudges and I just follow them. And when I don't follow them is where kind of like the mayhem and the chaos starts to show up.
So in one of those experiences where you had mayhem and chaos, can you remember a time where you were like, oh, wow, spirit is guiding me. I need to retrack. Like this is, if I keep going down this path, this is not going to end well. Even though you really so deeply wanted to keep on going. I don't know about you, but I am that type of person that sometimes I'm like, I just have to see this through. I have to see this through. And then as it starts to blow up, I'm like, okay, I should have listened to my intuition more. And I'm getting better at listening to my intuition.
Yeah, I know it does, right? It takes practice for sure. And it takes a willingness to listen. And that's not always easy when we have our own drivers, right? That say, no, go this way. There are a couple things. One was actually, it didn't manifest, but when I moved out to LA, one of my first auditions was for QVC. And out of 5,000 people, I do have to say, I was one of five. They flew out to Pennsylvania and did an on-set interview. And I'm actually releasing a blog about this because it was like, sometimes rejection is God's protection. And I was like, I want this job. The whole time I'm thinking, I don't want to move to Pennsylvania. I would have to work from 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. Now, at this point, I didn't have a job. So $80,000 sounded amazing. And I remember the interview like yesterday, and I'm in the like executive producer office and she's asking me all these questions. And I'm just like, yes, big smile on my face. Yes. But internally I was like, no, and I didn't get the job. And even though I was a little, my ego was hurt a little bit, looking back, my life would have been completely changed. I can't even imagine. I wouldn't have my children. I wouldn't have met my husband. I wouldn't be living in San Diego. You think about those things where, and that's why you're like, would you do anything different? I'm so stinking grateful I didn't get that job at QVC. And then another one that comes up was a hiring thing where I was in a bind and I was looking to hire someone and I made a quick decision, even when I knew it wasn't the right one. And then within a few weeks, it was very clear that it wasn't the right one. And there wasn't litigation, but there were some threats involved. Anyway, it was the worst hiring situation ever and firing situation. And I didn't trust my gut. I didn't listen to it. So that was another example.
I got the chills because I have had that experience in corporate America. And it's not so easy to back out when it's not. I don't know if it was at your company or not. And in my case, it was corporate. So I wasn't able to back out of it so quickly. There was a complete like protocol in place to be able to sort
sure.
of
yeah.
step back from the relationship. And it gave me such anxiety. I was literally losing sleep over it. I had the hardest time with that. But yes, making a bad hire because you're in a hurry, or at least I was.
Yeah. And she checked all the boxes, right?
And like, checked okay, all the
check,
boxes.
Check. And her references were even pretty good. They were good. I checked her references. I did, but
They lied for her. What?
Energetically, I knew. And yeah, that was a rotten hire.
Oh, that is so hard. What would you recommend to people about making a hire in the future outside of listening to your intuition?
I mean, absolutely. I think sometimes when we're hiring in a hurry, we don't check references. I also at the time didn't have a big enough team where she could have interviewed with more than me. Now, when I bring someone on, they interview with multiple people on my team. And it wasn't at all a love at first sight sort of thing. Because you know when you meet someone and you're like, oh my God, I love you. Never hire someone because you love them. Like, make sure that they're a culture fit, that they're a skill fit. And then I do have to say, I mean, you got to trust your gut, even on paper. Because again, on paper, she had everything.
So you were an entertainment reporter for many years.
I was half in, half out. So I have been an entrepreneur for 25 years. This is my third company. And it's so funny because I teach entrepreneurs how to use video to grow their businesses. And when I look back at my first business being interior design, I was a segment reporter on our morning show for, I did interior design segments. And then when I owned my talent agency, I did fashion segments and entertainment segments. And then when I launched ILTV, I love success stories. It's like when True Hollywood Stories was on E!, I love good documentaries. I just watched Shania Twain and the Wham documentary. Like, I love the story. And so that's what I've been doing since I started Inspired Living TV almost 12 years ago, has been really interviewing people on how they got to where they are. And I'm shifting. I've done it for so long and now everyone else is interviewing people. So I love what you're doing, like more topical, relevant conversations that I feel like my audience is going to really want to hear, especially for women over 40. There's lots of things that we can talk about. But I will say I've always been on camera in some way. My first national hosting show was actually on the Golf Channel. And then I worked for MTV and TV Guide. But yes, I have been on camera. I've used it as a tool because it's something I just really enjoy. But I didn't put the dots together that I was using it to grow my business until it became a thing where everyone's talking about how important it is to be on camera and use video to grow your business. I'm like, oh, I have the answer for that. I can help you with that.
Was there a specific situation where you're like, oh, wow, not only do I have the answer, I have the answer for me, and I'm going to turn this into my business. Like, was there a moment?
There was absolutely a defining moment. So going back to all over again, when I moved out to LA, I moved 7 times in 3 years because I would get a job and then I would lose a job. And then I would move someplace, it wasn't a fit, and I'd move somewhere else. It was banana bananas. It was so insane. And there were some living situations. Again, I've owned homes and businesses, and there were some situations that were down and out, like I would be in tears that I was living in this place. Like, is this where I am? And I will tell you, I think sometimes in order to get to that level of whatever success feels like and looks like to you, you have to eat some humble pie, at least in my experience. I've eaten lots of humble pie. I've had to take a step back to be able to step into the next version of myself, I will say. So there was a defining moment. I was a neuro-linguistic practitioner for a year. One of the odd jobs I got when I moved out to Los Angeles is I got asked to help be a trainer for this personal development company, much like a Tony Robbins company, really big in the UK and Australia. He would have 5,000 people in a room, and he needed a trainer pretty quick. And he met me on Facebook. Again, love Facebook, saw my videos or my sizzle reel and was like, you seem like you'd be great. So anyway, long story short, I learned NLP. Like, that's something you learn overnight. But I went in and I just consumed as much as I could. And I went to New Zealand and Australia and Hong Kong. And I'm teaching this stuff. And so Inspired Living started off as a more like life coaching company. And I had clients all over the world. And I'm a middle child. I grew up with an alcoholic father too. So I have a lot of codependent tendencies. And I found myself in this place where I'm like, I'm feeling like the middle child, like the peacekeeper. Everyone comes to Carrie to fix things. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And I was very new to the online space. All of my businesses before were brick and mortars or person to person. I had no website. I had no idea what the online marketing space was. But I remember when I was becoming accustomed to what it was, there were just a few women at the top. And there was this one particular woman. It was one night. I'm sitting in one of the bedrooms of one of the houses I was in. And I saw a video of her. And it was so cheesy and over the top. I mean, she's fabulous, but the video itself was just the super, hi, I'm so glad you're here. If you're broke and you want to make more money, I'm here to help you. Like, just that's that over the top cheesy. And it was like, ding, 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 ding. Everything went off in me going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I can teach her. I can teach people I've been teaching people how to be on camera pretty much since I got out of acting school as a kid. I would train other kids and then I had an agency. And so I have been helping people get comfortable on camera, I felt like kind of my entire life. So it was just this affinity, this pivotal moment. And my business went from, I'm sorry, what do you do? To, oh my gosh, how do I work with you? Like that niching down, it was back in about 2012, because I started the business in 2011. It was about a year later. And every single year, it's just been growth after growth after growth after growth. And following that intuition was another scary thing, because I had already built the business to be life and finance and relationships and health. And because to me, inspired living is whole life. It is not just one part of your life. But it has shifted, obviously, in 10 years. But that was one of the best decisions I ever made, was following that hunch. And was like, oh, I can help people. And it brings me so much joy. I love
that's it. That's amazing. So that gets you out of bed every morning. I'm sure that and your kids.
Every morning.
So early.
Every morning. And you know what's so funny? The past businesses, my interior design business, about 5 years, I was kind of done. Because, you work for yourself, by yourself. You don't see people unless you're, you know, showing up in their home and doing the install. And then buying the talent agency, I loved it. I did not think of a plan B. I'm not a plan B kind of gal. But it was never using all of my gifts. You know, I was running a business behind a desk. I wasn't expressing myself. I wasn't using my genius, if you know that, like the zone of genius. And inspired living really is. It is all of who I am. It is what I know. It's what my team knows. Like, we just love to help women get their message out into the world, to make a difference, to make more money, to make a greater impact. Like, that feels so much better than running and owning a talent agency. So I'm so grateful. That's why, like, what would you do different? I wouldn't. Like, I really, really love what we do and the lives we transform and the voices we get to put out into the world. It feels so good.
So is there a story of transformation that you can share with us based on your coaching of a woman that has helped her succeed that you're super proud of?
There are so many, but there's one in particular that stands out. I mean, we've served thousands of women over the last 10 years, but this one is still with me. She's been with me for about 7 years. She won't leave the community and we won't let her either. But she came to me. She owned a fitness studio. She was a partner of a fitness studio up in Davis, California. She was a personal trainer. This woman has 4 kids and probably works 80 hours a week. Like, her work ethic is just so insane. And when she came to me, she came to our 2-day on camera training. And she almost walked out. She's like, I'm not ready for this. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't have anything to share. I'm like, yes, you do. You're staying, you know? And she's come to, I think, 4 of them now. She keeps coming back because, you know, that's what you do. But at one of those trainings, Natalie, she said to me, I don't know how it came about, but she has a real passion for helping cancer patients. Her best friend passed of cancer, her mom. And she said, people always say, I wish I could take you in my suitcase with me. She has a master's certification for helping people with cancer, working with their fitness and nutrition. It's one of 500 in the world that she holds. Like, only 500 people hold this certificate. And I said to her, why aren't you specializing in that, Jen? Like, why don't you focus on that? And over the years, it got clearer and clearer. And she has launched Cancer Champion. It is a nonprofit. She has built a board. She is working with Mass General and Kaiser. It is literally exploding. And it just took her from getting out of, I have to be all of this, to what do you really want to do? What are you really passionate about? And then the fact that she had this certification that only 500 people in the world have, I'm like, Jen. And I talk to her still. And she's like, oh my gosh, Carrie, now we're working with this brand. And these people want to come in as sponsors. And it's just the most beautiful thing to see. She's on video. She would have never been on camera. She was terrified. She's using video on a regular basis. I'm so proud of what she's built. And it just took someone to help her see a different perspective. And I think that's so much about life, is that we only see what we see because our trauma, right, our childhood experiences, maybe our education or where we grew up, puts a filter on our eyes. And she just had a filter that needed to be removed. And I'm just so proud of the work that she's doing in the world.
That's entirely transformational. It sounds like that is a great story for her. But in turn, she's helping so many others live a better life and transform through the voice that you helped her cultivate, which is really amazing. Yes, you are helping people show up on camera, but you're leveraging that ability for them to actually use their voice. And I think that's important on so many different levels, right? And so that's beautiful. I have to ask you, what kind of cancer is it all encompassing?
All encompassing.
Okay.
Yeah. And she has different exercises, you know, for different cancers and where you're at and what stage. And she has a nutritionist. She has yoga instructors, mindset. It's just what she has built is so beautiful. And I think like so many women, sometimes we just need permission to dream a little bigger, to get out of what we feel is safe. Because the only thing I think is safe is following your dream, because everything else is on borrowed time or borrowed land. And we just, I think we each have these beautiful innate gifts and passions and things that we're meant to express. And for me, that is inspired living. The video is just a vehicle. It's just a way to amplify the message and to leverage time and talent. But it's just the door opener to so many other things.
I'm glad that you feel so good about it, because you should, because you helped her bring her voice into the light of day. So good stuff. So, you know, speaking of health, in particular women's health, I appreciate so much that you were able to expand your family later on, or I should say at advanced maternal age. I think that gives
so
many people.
Well, they call it geriatric
hope.
Where I am.
I know. They call it geriatric everywhere, but that is not a term that I subscribe to.
Thank you.
I just don't.
Much.
They say anything over 35 is, and in the community that I'm involved in, that word is something that is a huge pain point that we are trying to change, at least educationally, into advanced maternal age, because I think
it had
that
to be a man
so
that
normal.
It
always is. Yeah. I mean, the father of gynecology is the father for a reason. Also, like if you really go dig down that rabbit hole of Dr. Sims, I mean, he's like evil. So, I mean, it's like so bad. Story for another day. So speaking of having kids, what was the moment where you're like, I want to have kids? Because you did it on your terms. And I, if you don't mind me asking, when did you decide that you wanted to, like, I'm going to have a family? Because you did it and you were single. So like you had to have thought about it.
I didn't decide. It was not an accident, but it was divine. It was not planned. I will say, you know, I come from three girls. And my two other sisters are super maternal, knew early on they were going to have children. Ask my mom. I wanted to be rich and live in New York in a penthouse. And you know, it's so funny. I love kids. I knew I'd have a family. It just wasn't something that I was like, I want it now. I can't wait to have a big, huge family. As I got older, I've always been really driven. And as I got older, I was like, you know, I really would love a family. But when I was 40, when I got pregnant with Lauren, that was not planned. And I had to make a choice of aborting her and not having her and making it a better time, or believing that it was meant to be. And no shame on anyone that makes a different choice, but I was 40. Inspired living, even though it was nowhere near where it is today, it was stable enough. I had, I have so many stories, Natalie, of like the house, how I found the house for us. I don't know if we have time to share that, but I just knew that I was supposed to have her. And so I did. And then with Michael and I had landed when I was 45. I met Michael online and, you know, I told him he got 2 for 1, and he's such an amazing dad to Lauren. But we were talking about he was turning 50 and he'd really like to have a child of his own. Now at this point, you knowing that you have children, when your child's 4, you're like, this is getting easier, right? They're more self-sufficient. They're good. And so at this point, business is still growing. I have a 4-year-old. I'm like, life is good. And I said to him, I don't even know if I could, you know, so we went to a doctor and they checked follicles and all of those things. And I said, look, I don't want to go through IVF because I understand, whew, that's a lot to go through. I said, but if I get pregnant, great. If I don't, I don't. I got off the pill and good Lord. And I know I feel almost bad saying this because I know you've had such a journey. Like it was within a month I was pregnant with Landon. And so I was like, okay, well, it looks like I'm having a baby. And thankfully, I have really easy pregnancies, easy deliveries. Now it's just managing the two of them that is the daily struggle. But I'm blessed that way, I will say.
My gosh, yeah, that is definitely a blessing. That's incredible. I mean,
I know. I mean, it's unheard of. That doesn't happen at four. I was 44, obviously, when I got pregnant.
I want to know what Kool-Aid you are drinking, or like, I want to know everything that you're doing, because like, I know there's no magic pill, but I'm like, wow, that is a beautiful outlier. And that is incredible, because I think doesn't matter what, I just think it's amazing. So you have two. And by the way, I am a mom of one, and I do think about it, and I would, you know, have to go back to the, fertility route, which is difficult for me to like want to do at this point. But I think about like, wow, it would literally be starting all over again, because my child is five. And so she is, you know, relatively,
you get it. Yeah.
Self-sufficient is not the word, but capable enough.
I don't mean self-sufficient, but they're capable. Yeah.
Yeah,
like capable. You're not changing diapers. You're not breastfeeding. You're not,
they don't need you every waking second.
I mean, she's in a place where easier than a baby. And oh my gosh, I was like, the thought of breastfeeding and staying up all night again, and
it's painful
running,
right?
A business. But I'll tell you, 2020, I mean, it was a pretty good year to have a baby.
Oh my gosh, but you did it. And you were in Southern California. We were in Southern California for about a year of the pandemic. I grew up in Southern California.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I grew up in Laguna Beach.
Okay. Love it.
And I actually went to college in San Diego. SDSU.
Oh my gosh.
So I've lived in both places, and Southern California is an amazing place to live, let alone raise a family. And so that, as opposed to living on the East Coast, and I did both during the pandemic, was definitely a win. If we ever had a situation like that again, I don't care how we get to Southern California, we will live in Southern California.
Get me there.
Again.
At least you can go outside.
Yes,
you know,
that's huge.
We went on family walks all the time. And yeah, I will say, as crazy as that year was, it was such a blessing for us. My husband is a touring musician, and so he was home. And I had just had Landon in February of 2020. Again, I mean,
oh my God.
The dots.
Yes.
The dots.
Wow.
It's just so... And I say this knowing that there has been also a lot of things I've had to overcome, but I do feel very blessed. I do. And I feel very fortunate that I have the life that I get to live. And every day, I just really am. I'm so grateful for it. But it can be a lot too. Let me be honest. A 3 and an 8-year-old, they're always at each other's necks right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, can we please get through the sharing phase? I'm like,
and you will eventually. Tell me, what is lighting you up right now?
I will say what's lighting me up right now is, I think, the next iteration of Inspired Living. I've had the company for 12 years, and I feel like we're just getting started. So there's some serious growing pains. I'm going to be honest, there's some growing pains. But where I'm taking ILTV next, helping bring women-owned products to the forefront, discovering female-owned brands that are doing amazing things in the world and sharing their stories and their products. I'm so excited about that. It's a little bit of a kerfuffle right now internally with like systems and just the growing pains of that. But for me, I love helping people pursue their calling and using their gifts. And I feel like that is such an expression of what we do on Inspired Living. So honestly, that lights me up a ton, is where we're going next, because I would think I would get bored at this point, but I'm not. I'm really excited about it. And I have an event coming up, I have to say, in September, that is my favorite thing on the planet. It's called the Brilliant Event, and it's where women that want to build like a 7-figure brand, and I only say 7 figures because only 2% of women do. So it's really about creating this balanced life of how do you do your greatest work in the world and still maintain your sanity and your freedom and your quality of life. And to me, that's what Brilliant really is about, is helping them step into that big vision. So I'm really excited about that too. It's my favorite thing. It's an intimate event. It's 100 women that want to learn from other women that have built brands from the ground up and what they've done. Here's what I think, Natalie. There's a lot of people online that tell you how easy things are. Just launch this funnel, launch the membership, build the course. But no one tells you, like, we are having this. I have been on probably hundreds of podcasts. I have never had this conversation before, because no one is asking really like the deeper question of who did you have to become to build that business? What hardships did you go through? What mistakes did you make? And for me, the value is in that more than it is learn my funnel. We are going to be teaching our ad strategy and we're talking about AI and the things that have allowed us to scale to multiple seven figures. And coming from bankruptcy, I have to say I'm pretty proud of that. But it's more of who I became in the process. And the women like Claudia Chan who are coming to Brilliant are going to be speaking about who they had to become in the process and who we get to continue to become because it never stops. And that's what I love about Brilliant is that it's inward first so we can create what outer world most fulfills us.
That is so important because to your point, I feel as though everyone only sees the moment in which they see it. So here you are, Carrie Murphy. You have always been this person. You have always been this successful entrepreneur, amazing mama, you know, all of these different things that you are. You've always been that way, right? They don't know about your past. They also don't know that you put your heart and soul into your businesses and the ones that didn't go the way you thought they would or wanted them to became the platform for your next step. I really believe that there is importance in picking yourself up. I believe in failure because I think that's just a stepping stone. I read that you started Inspired Living at 36 and that it became a multi-million dollar business by the time you were 44. And what I think is amazing about that is that that's the reality, is that these businesses take time and energy. And yes, you have built and are continuing to build this empire, but it wasn't an overnight thing. And I think people need to be reminded.
Girl, thank you for saying that. Yes, yes. We did not reach the $1 million. It was 2020 that
wow.
We finally hit. Yeah. And I'll tell you, when everyone else was like freaking out, we doubled down. I do scary stuff. I'm a risk taker. I probably a little too much, but we just doubled down. We did more trainings. We got more people in. We learned how to scale a program. And every year since then, we continue to almost double. So I will tell people, yes, it is not a short-term game. Building a business, you got to have the legs. You got to be willing to run the race. And it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. But if you love what you do and you love to create and you can help someone solve a problem, like do it. But I love it. No, I did not make $1 million until I was, how many do math? 8 years, right? 8 years later.
I so appreciate the transparency because, again, most people don't share that part of the story. And so people just assume like, oh, and that also can sort of get people down and depress them from the idea of success before they've even started. So thank you for being so real and sharing so much with me here today. It really means a lot to me that you are here and you show up for women every single day. So thank you again. Do you have any parting words?
I just want to say thank you so much for creating this container and this space. I really loved the conversation we had today. I love that I was able to share things I don't share very often. I feel like this is where we get to see when we see someone else's true Hollywood story, right? Their real story. We can see a different potential within ourselves. And I say it so much, but I just want to kind of reiterate with your audience today is that no one's born with the success gene. I've been around long enough and I've interviewed enough people to know that if you truly have the belief in yourself and the resilience to bring whatever that vision is to life, like that dream is your destiny, it is your calling. And when I look back at all the dots, that little girl, even though the dream changed, the modality didn't really, my gift didn't, the vehicle changed, but who I am has definitely evolved, thank the Lord, and continues to. But the gift never changed. And the passion of helping people never changed. So someone needs to hear that what you're holding on to is actually the greatest expression of yourself. And whether it's a career path or it's a new hobby or just I really encourage you to use your gifts because they are there for a very divine reason.
Believing in yourself absolutely words of wisdom. Carrie, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the All Over Again podcast. I hope that you learned something from today's episode. If you enjoyed this, please leave a 5-star review about All Over Again on Apple Podcasts. Please also let me know what spoke to you about the episode on our social media channels at All Over Again Podcast. I can't wait to hear from you.